This is our last year on the unit of Avelos. We'll try to just cover some remaining topics. So unfortunately, we won't have a chance to get everything. But I'd like to discuss Nichum Avelim and then Kaddish, and if time allows, we'll talk a little bit about yard sites. The Mechaber writes in Simon Shin Ayin Vav Sif Aleph, Ein ha-menachem im rasha'im liftoach as yiftach aval tchila. When it comes to Nichum Avelim, the menachemim are not permitted to speak until the Avil speaks first. This is based on a Gemara in Moikata and Adav Kav Ches Amid Beis. The Gemara working off the Pesukim in Iyav that describe the interaction between Iyav and his Chaveyim that came to be Menachemim, the Gemara derives from there this din that the Avil should speak before the Menachemim. Why should that be so? The Levush writes that the process of Nichum Avelim assumes that the Avil first is going to demonstrate or show to the Menachemim his tsar on his mace, and then the response to that demonstration of tsar is the Tanchumim of the Menachemim. So first the Avil needs to express his tsar in order for the Menachemim to be able to respond to that expression. The Aruch HaShulchan says a little bit differently, that the Avil's job, in a sense, is, or the job of the Menachemim is a form of tzidduk hadin, so the appropriate interaction is that first the Avil begins by being matzig asadin, and then the Menachemim respond to echo that tzidduk hadin and provide tanchumin as well. Sitz Eliezer Chelek Yud Zayin Simin Mem Hei Ostalit. Sitz Eliezer Chelek Yud Zayin Simin Mem Hei Ostalit notes that he was always bothered by what seems to be prevalent practice, that Menachemim are not so makbid, seemingly not so makbid about this requirement, and he observes that many people come to be Menachem Avel, and the Menachemim speak before the Avel says anything. So is there a basis to justify what he observes as common practice? Is that a violation of the din, or is that perhaps justified? So he suggests, based on the Levush that we just quoted, who said that the reason for this Gemara, the reason for this din, is that the Avil has to demonstrate his tsar first, that sometimes an Avil can demonstrate the tsar without actually verbalizing it. Sometimes you have a situation where the Avil is in such a state of distress that it's difficult for him to speak, and the Menachemim pick up on that. So it's not necessarily required that the Avil verbally express its tsar if it's apparent to the Menachemim that the tsar is genuine and present. He quotes that in the Pe'er Hador, the five-volume biography of the Chazon Ish, the author writes that the Chazon Ish, sometimes when he wanted to be Menachem Avel, would begin speaking first when he noticed either sometimes the Avel was a little bit intimidated by the presence of the Chazon Ish to say anything, what he calls Meiras HaKavod, or that the Avil was in such great distress that he wasn't in a position to speak. So when the Chazon Ish would be Menachem Avil and pick up on the fact that the Avil wasn't speaking because of either the Yiras HaKavod or his emotions were so intense, then the Chazon Ish would be Paseach Tfila. So Sisiliasin says, he's even there, Maisa Rav, that that's an appropriate action, an appropriate course of action, that sometimes it's appropriate and not wrong for the Menachemim to speak first. And the Tzitz Eliezer also notes that as long as the Avil speaks at some point, then he doesn't have to begin speaking every time another Menachem walks into the room. The point is that he has to demonstrate the Tsar, so he demonstrates the Tsar once in front of some of the Menachemim, then even if other Menachemim come in later, he doesn't have to begin speaking before every Menachem comes into the room. The Badr Yishochan says, even more extreme, instead of Katan Hay, he thinks as long as the Avil speaks once during the whole week of Shiva, that's sufficient. He's Paseach on the first day. He says something to someone. Then that sets the tone for the Nichum of the entire week. Then he doesn't have to speak. Not only do they not have to speak in front of every Menachem, he doesn't have to speak every day. Once he spoke once, then that is sufficient. The Divrei Sofrim in Sifkatan Bey, he doesn't quote the Tzitz Eliezer, but he basically says a similar idea on his own, but he himself leaves it as a tzarachi and on the minhag olam that people are not makbid on this, but it seems that what the Tzitz Eliezer writes is sensible and presumably a good explanation as to common practice of not always waiting for the avil to speak first. Then the Mechaber continues, Ha'avol Mesa Barosh. V'kevin she'niyanei ha'avol Barosho be'inyan she'nira she'potra ha'menachemim einam rishom le'shevetso. Once the avol indicates that he doesn't want the company anymore, then everyone should leave because they're imposing on him. That's also Gemara in Vayikra and Daf Kaf Zayin. The Aruch HaShulchan comments here in Seif Gimel that nowadays we don't necessarily have the same code of conduct of being Menanei Rosh. The way to dismiss someone isn't by nodding your head. We don't have that kind of motioning. But a Menachem has to be sensitive to the needs of the Avil, and if the Avil in any way indicates that he doesn't want company at that point, then the Avil should leave. Right? I think there's that famous story of the Rizka Rav, that someone came to be Mevakir Chol, and the Rizka Rav didn't want him there, so he said, Eilu Dvar Mishay Lem Shir, the Bikir Chol Mez No Shir, they're there for a second, and then you're Yotze. What is Nichma Velim? What is the proper formula, so to speak, of Nichum Avelim? So Chavetz Chaim writes in Avas Chesed, Chelek Gimel, the end of Perakei, Chelek Gimel, the end of Perakei of Avas Chesed, V'hine, Yisod Inya Nichum Avelim, Hu Kidei L'Nachamo Mitzaro. So the point of Nichum Avelim is to be Menachem the Avel. V'haminuk Hu Eisal Olam, Sh'omer HaMalkim Minachem. So Minuk is to recite this formula of HaMalkim Minachem Eschem. V'im shebezeh yotzei mitzvahs nicham aveilim. So technically speaking, you're mekayim the mitzvah of nicham aveilim by just saying that popular formula. Mikol mokom yoser tov v'miyachol adaber alibo ulafigo mitzaro v'eizet diburim shezeh ikra nicham. So you're yotzei nicham by just saying amokim yinachim and leaving. But it's better if you can say something that's going to have an impact or going to in some way assuage the tsar of the avel, say something that's going to be meaningful to him, and that's better. Hamalkim Yinachim, Chavetz Chaim sounds like is the minimum. Some poskim sound like even if you don't say anything, you're Mekayim Nichum Avelim. Just by sitting there and by showing your presence, that's also a form of Nichum. Chavetz Chaim here writes, Hamalkim Yinachim is a minimum, but more appropriate if you say something that's going to resonate with the avel, then that's even better. Where does this formula of Hamalkim Yinachim Eschem come from? Rabbi Carr points out, page Tafresh Kafei, that you don't find it in Rishonim, you don't find it in Gemara, definitely, you don't even find it in Rishonim. He thinks one of the earliest references to such a formula is in the Prisha. There's slightly different versions in the earlier Achronim. The Shvus Yaakov has Hamalkim Yinachim Eschem Esach Shar Leveli Tzivner Shalayim, which is our common Esach, and the Prisha has Hamalkim Yinachem Cha, or Yinachem Ascha, that should be Menachem Yu, which is a formula that you find in the Magen Avraham Hilcha Shabbos, the Simen of Bimenachem Avelim on Shabbos. Magen Avraham Simen Reish Pei Zayin Sivkatan Aleph, Reish Pei Zayin Sivkatan Aleph, Mishabur, their Sivkatan Gimel, they have Yinachem Cha as well. Rabbi Carr points out, probably there's no Machlokas. Nusach, Yachin Nusach Rabin, depending on who you're speaking to. If you speak to multiple Avelim, you should say Eschem. If you speak to a single Avel, you should say Yinachemcha or Yinachem Oscha. And he says, Tzarachian, and the Minnega Olam, that seems to be to say Hamalkim Yinachem Eschem as the absolute formula, even if you're being Menachem or addressing a single person. Divrei Sofrim points out, Emek Davar Sivkata Nun Tes, Divrei Sofrim Emek Davar Sivkata Nun Tes, that even though it is mistaber that when you're Menachem, an individual, you should say Yinachem Ascha or Yinachem Cha, and he points out that the Yavetz writes that way in the Siddur as well, but you can understand how Eschem may make sense even if you're addressing a single individual. As the Rambam has, Nichum Avelim is Chesed Im Achayim Im Mason, that's why according to the Rambam, or that's the Rambam's formulation as to why Nichum Avelim takes precedence over Bikur Cholim. Because Nichum Avelim is Chesed Im Hachai V'Memeis, and Bikur Cholim is only Chesed Im Hachai, as long as there's no Bikur Nefesh, in which case Bikur Cholim will take precedence. So, if that's the case, that Nichum Avelim is Chesed Im Hachai V'Memeis, it's conceivable, says the Divrei Sofrim, that when you address an individual, you say, Amakom Yinachem Eschem, it's a reference to both the Avel and to the Nifter. both the chai and the mesa. Plural, you, the avel, and the mesa you be misavel for. Rabbi Karb quotes the same thing in the name of Rebbe Yashiv and the name of the Ger Rebbe. But he says that it sounds like, from what he says in practice, when Rav Yashiv was Menachem and Avil during Shiva, he would always use the Nusach of HaMakom Yenachem Eschem. But if he was Menachem and Avil after Shiva, and speaking to an individual, he would say Yenachem Eschem. I'm not sure what that distinction would be based on.
But that wouldn't work in every situation.
What do you mean?
Meaning if it's one female person saying Shiva for her mother.
Okay. Well, then you would still ask, is it proper Nusach Eschen or Osach?
Yeah, but the generic wouldn't work still.
Right, unless there's some basis for defaulting to a masculine generic, okay. Even for females.
Okay.
But okay. What's the reference to Hamakom in the Hamakom Yenachem? So Rabbi Fulda, Zulzai Gesund, would always say in the name of the Rav that Hamakom is a reference to the following, that your Menachem and Avel, Avel's parent passes away, that you should fill the void left by your father, let's say. That you should aspire to be whatever your father was, and fill his place, and that's the ultimate nechama when you fill the place of your father. So Malcolm is in place, not necessarily as a reference to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, literally. Rabbi Karp has the following suggestion, page Tarf Reish Kavav. The Mishnah in Midos tells us, Midos Beis Beis, that when the Avelim would come to the Beis HaMikdash, there was a Shar Avelim, and people would see who's going through the Shar Avelim and extend Tanchumin to the Avelim coming into the Beis HaMikdash. What was the Nusach of Tanchumin that was extended in the Beis HaMikdash? HaShochin B'Bayis HaZeh Yenachemcha. The Kadosh Baruch Hu, whose Shechina resides in the Beis HaMikdash, should be Menachem you. So you see that on some level, the Iker Nechama, the source of the Iker Nechama, comes from the Makam HaMikdash or the Makam of the Ashras HaShechina. So that reference of HaMakam Yenachem Eschem may be to the Makam, the Beis HaMikdash, as in Vayikach Me'evnei HaMakom, and sometimes Makom Sam or the Makom refers to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Beis HaMikdash should be the source of Nechama, because the Beis HaMikdash as the Makam of Ashras HaShechina is the ultimate source of Nechama. Okay. Rabbi Karp points out that many have the practice, in addition to saying HaMakom Yenachem Eschem Besoch Shar Avelu Tzim Yerushalayim, of adding something along the lines of Veloso Sifu L'Dava Od, or in the vernacular, you should know no more Tzar. He quotes that Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld had this practice of always saying Veloso Sifu L'Dava Od, and that was the practice of Rav Yashiv, who sometimes would say it in Yiddish. And he says the Stipler and the Brisker Rav would just say HaMakom, and not add Velosa Sifu Dava Od. Rav Sturmbach quotes Chuvas Van Hagas Chelak Hei Simen Shintes, Chuvas Van Hagas Chelak Hei Simen Shintes, that Rav Shlomo Zalman thought it was appropriate that an Avil should respond Amen to HaMakom Yenachem. And he says that's the minhag of the Teimanim. He thinks, for Sturmbach thinks, that should be dependent on whether we view the nusach, the formulation of HaMakom Yenachem Eschem, as a bracha or as Divrei Nechama. So if it's a bracha, it's appropriate to answer Amen. We generally answer Amen to brachas. If it's simply Divrei Nechama, then Amen is probably not as relevant. Although he says, even if it's Divrei Nechama, it could be it's Divrei Nechama that's formulated in a kind of bracha, and then maybe it's appropriate to answer Amen anyway. He says, Rabbi Karp says, page Tafresh Kavches, that Rav Yashiv did not say Amen, and he points out that you get the impression from the Rambam that there's no response at absolute Bechreach, but the way the Rambam formulates the interaction of Nechama Veil and Perik Yud Gimel Alacha Beis, Avelim omdim l'smol ha-menachmim v'chol menachmim bam etzal avelim echad echad v'yomim lehem tenuchamu min ha-shamayim. That was a Rambam's nusach of Tanchumim. V'achar kach holech avel l'beiso. V'chol yom v'yom yishevas yimei avelis bam b'nei adam l'nachamo b'in shabo panam chadashas b'in shalavo. So they say tenuchamu min ha-shamayim, and then the avel leaves. So Rabbi Karp thinks it sounds like there's no response on the part of the avel. Good enough, achreyach. What about performing Nicham Avelim by telephone? So this is a famous tshuva of Ramosha, Chelek Dalid, Arachayim, Simen Mem, Os Yud Aleph, Chelek Dalid, Simen Mem, Os Yud Aleph. Whether a person is Mekayim Nicham Avelim on some level by making a telephone call. So Ramosha suggests that to the extent that Nicham Avelim has an aspect both of Chesed Imachayim and Chesed Imamesim, the Chesed Imachayim could be performed over the telephone, if it's impossible to perform it in person. However, the Chesed Imameis, he thinks, is only shayach if you are present physically in the place where the Avelim are being misnachim, or in the Makom Shemes. So, preferable to be menachim in person, but if that's impractical, there is still something gained by making a telephone call. Both Rabbi Karp, page Tarfresh Mem, and Badr Shulchan Sukkot and Vav point out that you have to make the calculus. Sometimes it may be worse to make a telephone call. If the Avel is going to be upset at you for not coming to visit him in person, where he thinks that you could have made a trip in person and you're just being yotzezayin by making a telephone call, then maybe it's better not to make the telephone call. You're just going to make him more upset at you. Then leave things as they are. Maybe he'll think that you didn't know that he's in Avelis, so that he's sitting Shiva. And that might be better than making a telephone call. There is a paragraph in the letters of Rav Huttner, Igros Pachet Yitzchak, Igeres Lamed Gimel Os Beis, Igeres Lamed Gimel Os Beis, where he also discusses the possibility of the Menachem Avel via telephone. And he has the following analysis. He says that when it comes to Kavura, we have a certain formula of Nicham Avelim of Shura, where the Avel walks through the Shura and accepts Tanchumin. And he says that's indicative of the fact that there's a certain Surah, what he calls a Kvias of Mesibas Nachama. There's a gathering in a formal way of a Mesibas Nechama. He thinks that's true by regular Nicham Avelim as well, and that kind of tzura is lacking if you're going to make a telephone call. So, if you have no choice, there's something gained by making a telephone call, but he says you're not Yotze, the mitzvah of Nicham Avelim Kitikuna, it's not the proper form of Nicham Avelim, it's not the fullest form of Nicham Avelim, if you're going to do it by telephone. Rabbi Karp raises the question, Bechlau, is there any chiyuv of Nicham Avelim if you're in a different city? When it comes to many mitzvahs, there's no chiyuv to travel long distances to perform the mitzvah. So maybe that's true by Nicham Avelim as well, that if you're not local, there's no chiyuv of Nicham Avelim. Poskim quote a minug of not removing an object from a base avel. Shefter made reference to this when he spoke last week. The Yosef Omitz, one of the classic svarim that discussed Minhage Frankfurt going back a few hundred years, writes that this minug of not taking something from a base avel has no basis in halacha. Frankfurt, they're very against anything that had Kabbalistic overtones. He says there's no basis for this in halacha. He thinks that maybe the minhag is based on an erroneous extrapolation from the din of hamashil chelko l'chaluka l'chaveiro leilach l'beis avel. So there, that has to do with if you're lending a garment to someone to go to beis avel, so you don't take it back until the yimei avel are over, which is a kriya dik halacha. He thinks maybe there's some confusion between that and this broader practice of not removing anything from a base avel. A more common understanding seems to be that somehow there's a notion of ruach hatoma, so you don't remove something from a base avel because of a ruach hatoma. Rav Avadia writes on Chazon Avadia Chela Gimel, page Samech, Chazon Avadia Chela Gimel, page Samech, Manda lo kapi lo kapti bade. So he's not so impressed by this minhag either. He says if you don't really care or have such a strong tradition, then it's not something that you need to be concerned about. Rabbi Karev has the following analysis on page Tafresh Beis. He says it's difficult to understand if the basis for such a minhag is really based on ruach tumah. After all, whatever ruach tumah would exist in a base avil, presumably there's much more of a ruach tumah in a base akvaros. And we never find such a practice of not removing objects from a base akvaros. So if it's all based on ruach tumah, what's that is that we're suddenly so concerned by a base avil? So he thinks that maybe the real reason for this minhag is something totally different. That someone passes away, so the avelim are all overtaken by their avelis, and they're not thinking about any distribution of property or assets or belongings of the nifter. And it's possible that people are going to be coming in and out of the house of the Beis Avel and will start taking things that belong to the nifter because they think that they have the right to this, that, or the other thing. So in order to protect the avelim from this intrusion on the nifter's property, they developed this practice of not removing anything from a Beis Avel. So if that's the case, which is his conjecture, he says, Ein l'chabo el chidusha. Makes sense. That should only apply to things that were in the Beis Avel before. You know, things that were the chafatim of the Beis. But if you bring something into the Beis Avel, then there's no reason that you shouldn't be able to take it out. So he says, common practice is that people bring the Suda Sabra to the Beis Avel, or bring other food to the Beis Avel during the week of Shiva. You bring it in your own kelim. So common practice is that you don't leave all the kelim, all whatever the food's in, till after Shiva. That's something, even if you would be makbid on this, that's something that was brought in during Shiva, and he thinks that even if such a minhag exists, or even such a minhag is justified, it only applies to things that were in the Beis Avel before, not to things that were brought in during Shiva. And as Rishakli told us last week, he didn't think it made sense that you shouldn't remove food that's going to go to waste, that the avelim have no need for, that were brought in, it was brought in because all this food coming in, that no need to be makbid about that. Okay. What about nicham avelim on Shabbos? So that's a machlokas tanaim. Technically, we paskin that there is machlokas of the Shabbos Beitza. We paskin technically there is nicham avelim on Shabbos. In Hilchos Shabbos, Arachayim, Simen Reish Pei Zayin, Sif Aleph, Simen Reish Pei Zayin, Sif Aleph, the Mechaber writes, Yucholim Menachem Avelim B'Shabbos, it's possible to perform Nichem Avelim on Shabbos and Bikur Cholim. V'lo Yomer Lo K'derech She'omer Lo B'chol, Ela Omer Lo Shabbos Yimi Lizo U'Refur Krova Lavo. V'racham Amruvim Shifta B'Shalom. And the Rambam says you don't say V'racham Amruvim, yes we don't. So the Mechaber says we do nichem avelim and bikur cholim. When you do bikur cholim, you don't say the regular nusach, but rather you say Shabbosi mi lizog. But he doesn't say whether you change the nusach for nichem avelim. That's the machlokas of the nusach kelim. The Taz writes over there, Reish Pei Zayin, from his father in law the Bach and from the Marshal, that you should say Shabbosi mi lenachem and nochama krav olavo. Just like you say Shabbosi mi lizog. Or for Krav Olavo, so parallel lasho and parallel formulation for Nichem Avelim, you should say Shabbosi mi lenachem v'nochama Krav Olavo. Magen Avraham quotes this, and Magen Avraham thinks that's not necessary. He thinks that you can just say Hamakim Yinachem Eschem in the Hamakim Yinachem Eschem is his formulation in the regular fashion. Mishnah Berurah, the Sukkot and Gimel quotes both Deus, but he quotes the Taz as the stop. I mean, it sounds like the Mishnah Berurah's orientation is to change the Nusach and to say Shabbosi Milenachem Unechama Krav Olavo. Okay, the Aruch HaShulchan writes in Sifkat and Gimel that our practice is not to be Menachem Avelim on Shabbos. But Rabbi Karr points out in page Tafresh Mem Gimel that even if our practice is not to, it still comes up. You bump into an avel who's tok shiva in shul on Shabbos. So what do you say? So that should be this machlokas atazim agnevam. Do you say Shabbosi milenachem, or do you say amakom inachemes then? So Rabbi Karpo, that Rav Yashiv would say the regular nusach of amakom minachem, but he thinks sarchi and ledina. I was under the impression that the more common practice is to say Shabbosi milenachem. Rav Avadya writes page ayin gimel that minig Yerushalayim is to do nicham aveilim on Shabbos, and the practice was that people after shul Shabbos morning would go to the Beis Avel and say Hamakom Yinache, and say Shabbos Yinachem. Good. In general, we don't do Nicham Aveilim formally on Shabbos, but you definitely could. It's when my mother Lashalom was sitting father for my grandfather Lashalom in Riverdale. Rabbi Willig, for whatever cheshbonos he had, came to be Menachem Avel on Shabbos. So it's not unheard of. The general practice is that if the Avel is receptive to it and it's the only time that that you can go, in fact, we could do Nichem Avelim on Shabbos. Okay. Let's move on now to Kaddish. The Rama writes in the end of Simen Shin Ayin Vav, the very long Rama. V'nimsa b'midrashos lomer kaddish al av. So we have midrashic sources to recite kaddish over a father, over a parent. V'al kei nogu lomer al av v'eim kaddish basra yud beis chodesh. Okay, what are these midrashic sources? So you have this in many Rishonim, among them the Or Zeruah, Hilcha Shabbos Simen Nun. Or Zeruah Hilcha Shabbos Simen Nun has this whole maisa of Rabbi Akiva, who saw someone who looked despicable, and he asked him, "What are you doing? And why are you doing all this hard work?" And the story was that he would have been sentenced to Gehenna, and the only way out of it would be if his son would say Baruchu or Kaddish. And then Rabbi Akiva found his son, and he taught his son how to say Baruch and Kaddish, and then that affected a tikkun for his father, who was saved from Dina Shel Gehenim. So there are various versions of the story, but that's the source for reciting Kaddish over a parent. Rabbi Elia Gutmacher has a small sefer called Sukkah Shalom, which is dedicated to the topic of what to do to affect an aliyah for the neshama of a departed relative. He says it's really, there's a certain hierarchy. That Kaddish was instituted for people who can't do anything more. The Kaddish Yasam for the Yisalmim, for people who weren't able to daven for an Amid or do anything more than that. So the minimum to do in that situation would be to say Kaddish, and that affects a aliyah for the neshama. That was the Maaseh Rabbi Akiva, of this person that knew absolutely nothing. The Rabbi Akiva had to try to teach how to say Kaddish. But better than to say Kaddish if it's down for an Amud. That's a higher level of tikkun for an Avil to down for an Amud, or the same thing for David Yardzeit. And he says a higher level of tikkun than that is to dedicate a certain specific mitzvah to the aliyah of the neshama of the niftar. Then higher than that is to engage in Talmud Torah Barabim, to teach Torah Barabim. And higher than that is to teach Torah Barabim between Mincha and Maariv, and you daven Mincha before Shkia and Maariv after Shkia, or before night and after night, because then you're Mechaber, the Yom to the Laila, with Talmud Torah. That's the highest level of affecting an Aliyah for the Neshama. So, strictly speaking, in that hierarchy, the way he presents it, Kaddish is the lower level, but a lot of the literature about Kaddish applies to davening for the Amid as well, as far as Seder Kedima and the like. There's a Shuv in the Maariv, Simen Lamed, that discusses whether the same is true, the fact that a son should say Kaddish for a father, and by extension, down for an Amid, is that also true for a grandson, let's say, where there is no son who's in a position to say Kaddish? So on some level, he says there's a notion of kavod zikano, that the person is not only obligated in kibud av, but there's kibud of a grandparent also, though that's not necessarily on the same level as kibud av. So he thinks the compromise, that Marik thinks the pshara that's appropriate is that if you have one person saying Kaddish for a father and one person saying Kaddish for a grandfather, and this is quoted, I think, by the Magen Avraham in his Seder Kaddish, one person saying Kaddish for a father, one person saying Kaddish for a grandfather, then the father should get, the person saying Kaddish for the father should get two Kaddishes, and the person saying Kaddish for the grandfather should get one Kaddish. In a place where only one person says Kaddish at a time, and you're dividing the Kaddishes, so then the pshara is that the son has 2-to-1 as many rights as the grandson. If there's a son saying Kaddish for his father, and a grandson saying Kaddish for his grandfather, who's a different person. Chuvas Rama thinks that the Marik compromised too much. Chuvas Rama Simen Kuf Yitches, this is referenced in the Pesukei Tshuva here in Sifkat and Zayin. The Chuvas Rama quotes this Marik, and he thinks that, strictly speaking, the grandson maybe should have equal rights with the son. But since he hasn't seen that in practice, he endorses as a practical matter the pshara of the Marik, that the grandson saying Kaddish should get one Kaddish, and the son saying Kaddish should get two Kaddishes. The Piskei Tshuva in the beginning of Simen Shin Dalet Mem, Sifkat and Aleph, he quotes from a Tshuva, Evan Shoam, that if someone leaves a Tzava to his son not to say Kaddish, you honor that Tzava. Person says to his son not to say Kaddish, you honor that request. Rabbi Karr points out, if you look in the if you look in the Evan Shoam inside, he says the opposite, that there's a significant mistake in transcription here. He says Ein Shoam Lo, missing one important word, and that's indeed the case, that to the extent that Kaddish accomplishes something on behalf of the Nifter and is a responsibility of the son in the midst of the son, so it's lav kol kamine, I'm the father, to be mochal. That's not simply a generic form of kibud av, where a father under certain circumstances could be mochal al kvodo, but it's something more fundamental, which is the mitzvah of the son, and the father has no right to deprive the son of his mitzvah, or to instruct the son not to perform his mitzvah. Alright. Benogu lomer kaddish al ha'aim. Afa pi de sha'av chai, adayin ena biyad alimchos lomno, shalay yomer kaddish alima. That, there's some notion that a father maybe will have a kapeda that is lom and sam the milsa, it doesn't look right that his son should say kaddish, he's still alive. But he doesn't have the right to protest if the son saying Kaddish for his mother who passed away. But you do see in the Ramah, in the sources that the Ramah is based on, that there is a very strong orientation that if a person has both parents living, he should not recite Kaddish, because that's lo misam the mil, so that's a bad sign. And even for the discussion whether that's possible where the parents are mocha, Rabbi Willig is very adamantly of the position that even if parents are mochel, a person should never recite Kaddish if both of his parents are living. And my sense is that Rabbi Schechter was a little bit more liberal about this in a situation where the parents aren't makbid to say Kaddish even if a person has both parents who are living. But there is a strong orientation reflected a little bit here in the Ramah not to do such a thing. The Rama writes, I'm skipping a bit, let me come back to some of the things I skipped. V'nogu she'ein omrim kadosh u'tfila rak yud aleph chadashim. The minhag is that a person saying kadosh for his parent only recites kadosh for 11 months. K'day shelo yasu aviyem v'yimam rishayim ki mishvat rasha yud beis chadosh. The tradition is that the Rasha gets 12 months in Gehenna. And therefore, it's inappropriate to say Kaddish for the entire 12 months, because then you give over the impression that your parents are Rishon. This is based on a Maril, Siman Kof Beis, and Shuas, that you only recite Kaddish for 11 months, not for the full 12 months. Nihugei Avelasi Beis Chodesh are the full 12 months. But Kaddish is only for 11 months. Pesachei Shuvah writes in Sivkat Antes that if you know that your parent was a Rasha, then you should say Kaddish for 12 months. If you're privy to... Misha Yodei Ba'avi V'ima Shayir Rashami Osam Chenidonu Yubeis Kodesh Rayim Uchliyav Shayamar Kaddish Yubeis Kodesh. So if you know they're the types of people that probably aren't Gehenna for 12 months, then it's appropriate to say Kaddish for the full 12 months. The remote quotes in the Darkei Moshe here.
How does one define Rasha in that
context? Has anyone ever seen anything like that? Or heard of anything like that?
Have they ever heard of someone who said Kaddish for 12 months because his parent was a Rasha? Not offhand. Maybe I'm in the wrong circles. The Darkei Moshe here, in the long Darkei Moshe at the end of the Siman, quotes Maril and Shuva, who quotes an opinion that you shouldn't say Kaddish if someone is killed al Kiddush Hashem, presumably because they don't need it, because they go straight to Gan Eden. But that's not the appropriate practice, that a person should say Kaddish for anyone who passes away, whatever the circumstances, and that is the minhag. The poskim say that when you calculate the 11 months, you calculate the 11 months from the Yom HaKvura, not from the Yom HaMisa. There are, however, places where the practice was to recite Kaddish for some time more than 11 months. Rabbi Karp quotes in page Tavshin Ayin Vav, in the name of the Shiarei Knesset HaGedola, a practice of reciting Kaddish for 12 months minus a week. And the point is that Mishra Hashem Gehenim Yubeis Chodesh, so you shouldn't say Kaddish for Yubeis Chodesh. But it doesn't mean you have to stop at 11 months. You can go 11 months and 3 weeks. As long as you stop some point before Yubeis Chodesh, that would be sufficient. The common practice, the more common practice, to stop after Yud Aleph Chodesh, I think, assumes that once you're already in the 12 months, so then that's the Yubeis Chodesh. But there are other opinions, and that's the Shiarei Knesset HaGedola, that you stop a week before. And some of the practice of saying Kaddish for the entire 12 months, he quotes the Ksav Sofer, that the Chassam Sofer instructed his son the Ksav Sofer to say Kaddish for a full 12 months. And he quotes that Shlomo Kluger instructed his sons as well to say Kaddish for the full 12 months. Rav Avadya quotes an opinion in the Chazon Avadya. I think he quotes this as an endorsed practice to say the Shiarei Knesset HaGedola sounds like you would say Kaddish up until the week before the 12-month mark. Rav Avadya quotes a practice of stopping for the first week of month 12 and then resuming Kaddish for the balance of the 3 weeks. I'm not sure the relative merits of those two positions. It sounds like they're based on the same idea, that as long as you're not saying Kaddish for the full 12 months, then there's no concern that you're given the impression that your parent was a Rasha. Right? Some of the practice of not saying Kaddish during the 12th month was still davening for an amud, at least if it doesn't interfere with other Avelim who want to daven for an amud. We call when Rabbi Willig was in Avelis during month 12. He didn't seek out the Amud, but he seemed to make it known that he wouldn't mind davening for the Amud if the Gabbai asked him to, if there wasn't someone else who had Kedima. And some say that this minhag of not reciting Kaddish during month 12 only applies to Kaddish Yosso and not to Kaddish Derabanan, that there's less of a concern to recite Kaddish Derabanan. That's what Rav Avadya has. And Rabbi Felder has that as well, in the Sisodei Smachos, that there's no problem with an Avel reciting Kaddish Derabanan during month 12. There is a discussion as to whether the Chati Kaddish after Kriyas HaTorah is Shayach to the Baal Koreh or is it Shayach to an Avel. Rabbi Karp here has Mar Mekomis on that in page Tavshin Ayin Ches. He quotes from the Stechemet and from the Agudas Ezov, and Rav Avadya favors this approach as well in the Chazon Avadya, that the Kaddish is Shayach to an Avel. And then he quotes from the Shuas Maran Brisk, that the Shayach to the Chazon, and that is the Minog. So says the Shari Ephraim, which is the Posek, or the Achron of record when it comes to Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah. So that's what the Shari Ephraim says, that the minhag is that the Shliach Tzibur says it, and the Baal Koreh says it, unless the fellow who gets Shlishi has Yahrzeit on that day. Or if he's an Avel. So if the Ola is a Shaykh to the Kaddish also, so if the Ola is an Avel, the Ola can say the Kaddish, but otherwise the Shliach Tzibur says the Kaddish. And the Mat Ephraim says, I know, it's only a Yahrzeit who would have the right to the Kaddish if he gets Shlishi, not a regular Avel. He quotes from Shlomo Zalman and from Rav Vosner that the minhag is that the Baal Koreh says the Kaddish. And he quotes from Rav Yashiv that a Yahrzeit or Avel says the Kaddish. The minhag in our base medrash is that the Baal Koreh says the Kaddish, even if there's an Avel there. Okay. So the Ramah, right, is going backwards in this long piece in the end of Shin Ayin Vav. Gimel Achin v'ish Nachri, ha-Gimel Achin olin Gimel Kaddishin, v'Achin otel Kaddish Achad. That if there are three brothers and a fourth Avel, so even though the three brothers are saying Kaddish for the same father, but each one of the brothers has an independent Chi of Kaddish, and each one of them is part of the mix in determining the priority of who says Kaddish. So if there are four Kaddishes, and four Avelim, even if three of the Avelim are Avelim for the same Niftar, you split the four Kaddishes among the four people. And if a person has Yahrzeit, so he has Kedima for Kaddish. And if an Avel can daven for the Amud, he should daven for an Amud. So if you have someone in Shiva, the person in Shiva takes all the Kaddishes. If you have an Avel Toch Shloshim, he gets a Kaddish. La'achar Shloshim kol HaKaddishin Shalos Hayom Heim Shalom. So on the day of a Yahrzeit, Shiva still has Kedima over a Yahrzeit. Shloshim gets one Kaddish, and Yud Beis Chodesh gets nothing. Fine. But it's clear that the original, we see in the Ramban, you see in the earlier Achronim, the original Minhag Ashkenaz was that only one person would recite Kaddish at a time, and that's why you have the whole literature of the Seder Kedima for Kaddish. Aruch HaShulchan in Aruch Chaim, Simen Kuf Lamed Beis Sivches, Simen Kuf Lamed Beis Sivches notes that in his time, the general practice was that people would recite, the veil would say Kaddish together, that you wouldn't split the Kaddishim, but everyone would say Kaddish together. Piskei Tshuva here, Sivkat and Vav, quotes, I am Shuvas Divrei Igeres, the Medina so Tikein Shakola Avelim Yomu Kulam Kaddish Yachad, Ayin Sham Tam Ovenimu Ko. Namely, not to be Marvin Machlokas. The quote, the Rebbe Kiva Eger, when there was a major cholera epidemic, and there were a lot of people who were in Avelus, so he instructed, even though the previous minhag had been everyone that only one person said Kaddish at a time, he instructed that everyone should say Kaddish together because there were so many Avelim. And that seems to be the old practice among Sfardim, that Rav Avadia quotes as being the standard practice of Sfardim, that it appears in Seichem and the Kaf HaChayim. And the Yaivis in his Siddur praises this practice of Sfardim that he references of having everyone recite Kaddish together. There's a Tshuva L'Chasson Sofer, Arachayim Simen Kuf Ayin Tes, Arachayim Simen Kuf, sorry, Kuf Nun Tes, Arachayim Kuf Nun Tes, who quotes such a practice of reciting a Kaddish together, and he objects to it. As a point of Kaddish, what is this chus for the nifter? That the person reciting Kaddish is a conduit for the tzibur to respond, the sarsur, the middleman. So if multiple people are reciting Kaddish together, ultimately only one of them is responsible for everyone answering, and the others are simply a misayei ashein b'mamish. So there's nothing gained if you have multiple people reciting Kaddish. The additional people don't really affect any additional zuchus. Tshuvas Binyan Siyan Simen Kuf Kaf Beis. Tshuvas Binyan Siyan Simen Kuf Kaf Beis notes that it is true that there's this long-standing practice among Sfardim of everyone reciting Kaddish together. But that makes sense for Sfardim, because Sfardim daven slowly, and they say every word together. So for them, we're not worried about Trei Koli Lo Mishtama, we're not worried about any divergence in the recitation of Kaddish, because everyone's careful to recite everything together. But by us Ashkenazim, that wouldn't work, because we daven too quickly, and it's not the same. Rosh Dorma quotes Tshuvas von Hagos Chelek Aleph Simen Kuf Gimel. Tshuvas von Hagos Chelek Aleph Simen Kuf Gimel. He quotes as Yaivitz. He quotes in the Tzava of Rav Natali Amsterdam. He writes that he heard from his Rebbe Yisrael Salanter that two people cannot recite Kaddish together because Trei Koli Lo Mishtama. And he quotes that the Chazon Ish was very opposed to having two people recite Kaddish together because that's like two Shluchei Tzibur, which is, I think, the basis of Rav Schechter's discomfort with two people reciting Kaddish at the same time. Rabbi Karko said he heard from Yankel Schiff that by the Brisker Rav, everyone said Kaddish together. But the Hatzalah Porsa, those who reluctantly endorse the more widespread practice among broadly speaking, Ashkenazic Jewry, not the real Ashkenazic Jewry, because the real Germans still do say Kaddish separately, but among the more widespread practice nowadays, so Rav Sturmbach writes, and Rabbi Karp writes, and Rabbi Shulchan writes, that at the very least, if multiple people are going to recite Kaddish together, they should be careful to stand next to each other so that they say every word together, and there's no disparity between where everyone is up to, because that creates confusion as to who's answering to what when. Rabbi Felder has an interesting, I think he quotes this from Moshe, and in his Yesodis Malchus, in terms of Seder Kedima, and Seder Kedima is relevant for Davening for an Amud, even in a place where everyone's going to say Kaddish together anyway. He says, an Avel, let's say you have two Avelim, one of them is within Shloshim, and his Shloshim started at the Kfura, and someone else had a Shmua Krova that started, let's say, 2 weeks after the Kfura. So he keeps Shloshim from his Shmua Krova, but he's already 5 weeks after the Kfura. So the person who was within 30 days of Kfura has Kedima over the person who's still within his personal Shloshim, but is more than 30 days in the Kfura. That I haven't seen elsewhere, but he quotes, Rabbi Felder has that in his Yesodes Machos. Okay. So, Rabbi Karp writes here, page Tavshin Sadi Gimel, Aser Lariv Ala Kaddish. Shouldn't fight over Kaddish. Ein Bazaz Chus La Niftar Vamavatir Moel Yosel La Niftar. That if you're going to fight over Kaddish, that's not really going to help. And there's a bigger Zachus for the Niftar if you're Mavatir than if you're going to fight over Kaddish. Who's he quote? Binyamin Zev, B'Shem Aguda, Darkei Moshe, in Or Chaim Nun Gimel, that in general you shouldn't fight over mitzvahs. Hatznu in Moshe and Yadam Yilechem upon him. Because in the Kaf HaChaim, L'mizeh Yish Lilmod, Kol Adam im Yesh Lo Yartzai Do Dover Achav Rotsa Li Yeskazan Lispala Lo Lalo Sefi Torah Yesh Acherim Gam Gen Yesh Lo Yartzai Lo Yiskote Dover Zay Shouldn't Fight Ki Migraos Nasan Chas V'Shalom El Shetiknu Zeskharo Zekvodo Nachas Ruch Lo Aviv Kos Negesher Chayim, that Havel of fight is horrible, it's Marvin Machlokes, the whole point of Kaddish is to be Metakin the Aveir Chil Hashem, to be Kaddishim Shemayim, and here you're Bimosu Chil Hashem. However, there's a very interesting piece in the Eimek Bracha. Eimek Bracha Velus Os Tes. Says that if a person has kedima for kaddish or for davar ganav, he has the right. He's in shloshim. The other guy's in yibes kaddish, so he has the right for the amud. The person shouldn't do a chesed to be mevater, because since it's not his chus, but it's the chus of the mace. So who is he to be mevater on the chus of the mace? Ain other mochel davar shein a shalom. And don't say that the mace would like it if he's mochel. Better to have his son do gemilas chasadim with someone else, and that'll also be his chus for the mace. Because then ain't the darvis of, then it'd be mevater in every kaddish the whole year. And since tefillah and the kaddish have a skula that helps with the tikkun neshama of the mace, so you don't have the right to be mevater. And don't just say you'll do other chesed. Unless you think the other guy is going to have so much tsar if you're not mevater. So then in order to avoid that tsar, maybe that's a mitzvah rabbah, and maybe then you could be mevater. And he says, the same way we saw Salanter, that once he was mevater on his chus to someone else who had a yard site, because he thought that otherwise the other person is going to have a lot of tsar. So Rabbi Karp actually quotes this Eimek Bracha, and he doesn't quote it as being against the previous Marmar Kavos. It sounds like he's understanding you shouldn't fight over Kaddish if everyone's on the same on the same footing. But if you have the right to it, then you should fight. That's kind of, you shouldn't be mevater. That's kind of how he presents it. I'm not sure. I thought that many would say, even if you have the right, if other you shouldn't fight. Not sure. Okay, there are more rights. We're still in Shinayin Vav. Mitzvah l'sanos b'yom shemeis avoy. So the mitzvah to fast on the day of a yard site. What is that based on? So there's slightly different reasons given in Rishona. Truma Sadeshen Simen Reish Tzadi Gimel writes that a yard site is a re-experiencing of the Tsar of Aninus. That every year, on the anniversary of when you were an Onain, you on some level re-experience the Tsar of that Aninus. And it sounds like fasting is an actual expression of that re-experiencing, reenactment of the Tsar of Aninus. And that's the expression of the Gemara in a few places, of Kiyom Shemes V'Aviv, Kiyom Shenerek V'Agadai Ibn Achikam, in the context of taking a shvuah, not to eat something. So one of the paradigms of when you would not eat something is Yom Shemesh Ba'aviv. So you have this notion right in the Gemara that Yom Shemesh Ba'aviv is a time of Atanas, and through Sadesh thinks it's connected to re-experiencing the Tsar of the original period of Aninus. Thank you. last we have in Hilchos Tanis, Simon Tavkav Samaches Sivches, Tavkav Samaches Sivches, Ein Tzarech L'Sanos Ela B'Yom Misas Aviv V'lo B'Yom Kfura. The day of, when you observe a Yartzeit and fast, that's the day of the Misa, not the day of the Kfura, but the Mechaber records this practice. Here it's only the Ramah, but the Mechaber in Hilchos Tanis has that the notion of fasting on a Yartzeit, and he defines it as Yom HaMisa, and not Yom HaKevura. And others have, that the Lekid Yosher has this idea, and others, that the reason for the Tanis is that some of our Yartzeit is a day that's Ria Mazle. Either it's Ria Mazle for the Avel, the person who's observing the Yartzeit, that the fact that his relative died on that day means that there's a certain bad mazel that he has, and the tinus is to counteract that bad mazel, or the notion that there's another din for the nifter on the day of the Yartzeit, there's an annual din, and therefore it's appropriate to fast for that reason. Rabbi Karp quotes here Achronim, who indicated not to fast on a Yartzeit. He quotes page Tuf Tuf Yudbeis, Savar Rabbi Kiv Eger to his sons not to fast on the Yartzeit, but rather to learn for the entire day, meaning for all 24, 25 hours, or to have someone else learn instead of them during a time they weren't able to learn. And he quotes that the Chasim Sofer's wife, Gedeva's daughter, was mitzava her sons as well not to fast on the daily yard site. And he quotes the Baruch HaSorbeinu that the stipler told his son, Chaim Kanievsky, that their minhag was not to fast. And he says, in practice, Chaim Kanievsky does not fast on the yard site because nowadays we're weaker than we used to be, and fasting causes bittul Torah. Better to learn the Ili Nishmas, the Nifter, than to fast if fasting is going to cause you to learn less. And he writes that the Chazon Ish, I guess also from Aruch HaSorbeinu, the Chazon Ish, when he had Yartzeit for his father, would learn all Maseches Chul on that day. Okay. He quotes from the Sefer Menucha Kedusha, the Talmud of Chaim Volozhner, that instead of fasting, a person could have a Tanis Dibur. Question of Rav Yashiv Paskin, that if someone's capable of fasting, better too fast. Because that's Dina de Gemara, or Dina de Shulchan Aruch at least. Or at least fast until Mincha. The most important thing on a Yartzeit is to learn Lili Nishmas Demes, to learn Mishnayis. As far as Seder Kedima, an Avel on the day of a Yartzeit is entitled to an Aliyah. just quoted from the Rav before, is entitled to daven for an amud. And there's a little bit of confusion as far as daven for an amud, whether shloshim takes precedence or yartzeit takes precedence. My impression is that the general minhag or common practice is that yartzeit takes precedence. Rabbi Karp thinks when it comes to these things, I call holchin achar minhag. Rabbi Sachs and Shulchan Davin, and Rabbi Sachs generally tries to arrange if you have a yartzeit and a shloshim on the same day to make sure that people daven in different minyanim so you don't run into this issue. Because it's not really so clear they're conflicting indications. In the Ramah, you get the impression that maybe Shloshim takes precedence for Daven for an Amud. That's not so clear. A common practice is to have an Aliyah the Shabbos before the Yartzeit, if there's an available Aliyah. Many of the practice having mafta b'shabbos for a yartzeit. The quotes here from the Levush and the Magen Avraham, Hilchos Shabbos, Rabbi Yosef, Reish Pei Beis, and Reish Pei Dalid, and the Shari Ephraim. And if there are two yartzeits that week, they should draw lots as to who gets maftir. Different Hagavan Avil Davin for an Amud the Shabbos for the yard site. What about Davin for a yard site, Motzei Shabbos, Davin for an Amud, Motzei Shabbos for a yard site? So, I think people have a mistaken notion that somehow someone has yartzeit that week has kedima to daven for an amud motzei Shabbos before over regular availing. That is not true. You know, there are plenty of shuls where someone has yartzeit that week will knock off an avel for the amud motzei Shabbos before. So that's probably not right. Where does this notion of davening for an amud motzei Shabbos before come from? So Ricard quotes from the Geshur Chaim. He says this minhag is not quoted in earlier poskim. Shmuel Salant, and I like this minhag. During Yibes Chodesh, so then there's more of a reason for an Aval Tadavin with the Shabbos, because that's when the Rishon go back to Gehenna. But after Yibes Chodesh, you're not maxed someone who's a Rasha. After 11 months, we stop saying Kaddish. So why would you have this kpeda before yartzeit? So he says that the Brisker Rav also didn't think this was appropriate. Of course, in Geshur Chaim says the reason for the minhag is that the Shabbos before yartzeit is the yartzeit of the Sham Yisera. The Shami Yisera leaves Motzei Shabbos before the yartzeit. Rabbi Karp thinks the reason for the minhag is that even those who already were nidon during the first year and they're not b'nei gehenim, but there are different levels of Gan Eden. So Motzei Shabbos, they go to a lower level. Shabbos are on a higher level. And there's a sign that also. So that's why we daven for an Amud Motzei Shabbos. But that's the explanation of the minhag. But it's definitely not dochen avel yubeis chodesh. It's asked an absolute chiyuv. It's that people make the mistake, that it's an absolute chiyuv like a yard site, and they knock off a veilim, and that's not right, that's gozlam and a mason. That's correct. I always found it surprising. I never came across such a robust rejection of this, but I always found it surprising why it seems that common practice in at least many shuls is to give someone as yard site that we the amen most times before, even if there are other veilim there. Maybe that's where the Emek Bracha would say you should stand up for your rights. The Avel, not the Mevater. Okay, we'll stop here.